Good morning. Welcome to the 15th year of Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church in beautiful Heartland, Wisconsin. My name is Gus, and I am this morning's representative from the church board. We have a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read the announcements that are listed in your order of service, and I also have a few additional ones here to read. The LCUUC's annual Time, Talent, and Treasure Silent Auction is quickly approaching. For this event, members and friends donate their time, talents, and/or treasures. Then over the course of four Sundays in October, everyone has the opportunity to bid on these donated items. Last year, this event made over $6,000 for our church. Donation forms can be found in the social hall on the long counter on the west wall. Pick one up today. Please see the flyer in your order of service for all the dates and details. The reminder that the deadline to sign up for the LCUUC Adult Enrichment Class, The Spirituality of Place in Art, is next Sunday, September 30th. The class will run for five consecutive Wednesday evenings from October 3rd through October 31st. This is the second class in a series to explore the convergence of art, nature, and spirituality offered by LCUUC's own Janica Yoder. Janica Yoder, where are you, Janica? Thank you. Will be in the social hall after the service to answer your questions. Sign up at the LCUUC office or online at our website. As part of today's 15th anniversary celebration kickoff, we invite you to share a fond LCUUC memory. You can write or draw it on the paper which is in the social hall, set up to look like a football field. You may notice that each of the yard lines is marked with a 15. Munch on a cookie as you ponder what special memory to share, whether it is from today, 15 years ago, or anywhere in between. We need one more mowing volunteer. There's a slot open. Please see the sign-up sheet on the social hall bulletin board. One more person to help with mowing. We will not greet each other yet. We're going to wait. There's going to be a designated place later on in the service, and you will be given instructions at that point what to do. If you are visiting with us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There is a variety of information available on that table about our church and about Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interests you. I will also be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church, or if you have been visiting for a while and would like information about becoming a member. I'd be happy to talk with you about that as well. And you can also join Reverend Hobart and a few members after the service for a cup of coffee and a chat. Is that correct?
In the minister's
office. We'd like to get to know you and answer any questions that you may have. We will meet in the minister's office to the right, just inside the church office. Please join us. And if you are interested in learning more about Unitarian Universalism and Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, new members, friends, and those thinking about joining the church are invited to join the UU orientation class. Reverend Hobart and LCUUC members will lead a session that will include getting to know each other. The next class will be scheduled for, Al? The 28th of September? Thank you, Al. October, sorry. 28th of October. If you are interested in this, you can contact Al or contact Chris White, who is in charge of, I believe, membership, 414-852-6303, or Reverend Hobart here at the church, 262-369-1703, if you have questions about that.
If you are visiting us with your children, by the way, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they will go to their religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them or to remain in the service. If you would like to go along to observe your child's class, please do so. The nursery is just out the doors here to my right and across the entryway if there is a need for child care during the service. Classes will end at 11:15 a.m., at which time you can pick up your children from their classes depending on how heavy they are. Now, we always enjoy getting to know our guests, and we do. If any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you introduced them, or if any guests have brought themselves, we would be and feel comfortable in introducing yourself. This would be a good time to do so. Would you please rise, state your name, and tell us where you're from? Thank you. Welcome. 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 Everyone is, oh, sorry. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. And of course, please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. And now our Reverend James A. Hobart, it is A, isn't it? That would be you, is going to announce our and welcome our speaker this morning.
This is the, what was that?
Woo! Woo!
This is the first of three events to celebrate this year that will be spread out over the course of the year. You'll be hearing more about the others as we get closer to them. Now, I want to make one thing very clear. I have explained to Jenny Corder that this is the finest Unitarian Universalist congregation in Heartland, Wisconsin. And I hope you won't do anything to that would make her think any differently. Jenny lives across the lake, over up at the top of the lower peninsula, up at Traverse City. She's lived, I guess, in Michigan all of her life, right? Yeah. Most all of her life. She grew up in Flint. We remember that they used to make cars in Flint, didn't they? Yeah. And growing up, her family was United Methodist. We Unitarian Universalists are really fortunate because we have been graced by the presence among us of many Methodist-raised people. I bet there's some here in the congregation besides Jenny this morning. Now, the Methodists really get religious institutions and religious communities. They get what it takes to keep them alive and vital and growing. Well, somewhere along the line during her growing up years, Jenny began to raise some religious questions, and some of those were not very well received among the Methodists. And I want to assure you, she has never stopped asking those questions. Her questioning mind and understanding of what it takes to maintain and grow dynamic religious communities brought her to Unitarian Universalism, much to our benefit. Jenny and I have known for a number of years many of the same people in UU circles. we knew the same people before we met one another, which demonstrates our mutual good taste and judgment. But it wasn't until 1995 that we met, when she became a member of the Unitarian Universalist Association's Board of Trustees, 2 years after I began my service on the board. Now, to tell the truth, neither of us had a very flattering picture of the other in the beginning. And I'm not sure exactly why, but we were wary and even suspicious of one another. That didn't last long. For my part, I soon realized that we were almost always on the same side of every discussion. And a few times we were a majority of two. Not numerically, just in terms of the rightness of our judgment. And before long, we became among the strongest of allies, and we certainly became among the best of friends. Well, time passed, and my 8 years on the board came to a close in 1991, and Jenny then completed her term just a little bit later, and then lo and behold, there was a crisis in the Unitarian Universalist Association. I won't say unusual. This seems to happen pretty regularly. And it was that the moderator of the UUA had to resign, and the board had to appoint a moderator until an election could be held, and Jenny Corder was their choice. And then after she had filled out that appointment, she was elected. And then 4 years later, she was reelected. So she spent most of her adult life on the Board of Trustees of the Unitarian Universalist Association. And now she's nearing the completion of her term on the board. And as the moderator, it's going to be interesting to find out what she decides to do next with her life, or what others decide to do with her life. But I'm sure we will continue to hear about her engagement and involvement in Unitarian Universalist circles. Now, I haven't even told you about her professional life. She is the founder and one of the co-owners of Triad Consulting, which is a firm that consults all over the United States in information technology. Is that a good way to describe it? And she has written, 29 books, or co-authored 29 books? She's very well known and respected in her professional field as well as among Unitarian Universalists. So, Jenny, it's really a great pleasure to have you here any time, but especially for this occasion as we kick off the celebration of the 15th anniversary of this congregation. is our familiar chalice. And in it is a simple candle that will become an ordinary flame. These familiar, simple, and ordinary objects take on an extraordinary meaning as a symbol of our common liberal religious faith and our shared liberal religious community, the Flaming Chalice. And today, as we do every Sunday, we once again kindle the flame anew. The light of the Flaming Chalice serves as a beacon for our religious heritage, reminding us of all those who have been steadfast in their support of freedom and their quest of truth and their dedication to an open society and a beloved community. And the chalice light illumines our way today in a world where often the way ahead is obscure and uncertain and fraught with dangers. And the chalice light kindles a vision of promise of a better world if we are steadfast and together living into and living out of our faith. Today and in the time to come, let us offer the chalice of our being and our being together, receiving the gift of life, bearing it forward on our common journey, and offering it secure to generations yet to come. And it's in this spirit today that we light our chalice. It did light. Okay, now we're going to have a rousing introductory song to start off the service. Who is our leader? Where is our leader? There they... Okay, I turn it over to you. Guardiamos Hodie.
And now we will have our congregational ingathering, number 489. When love is felt or fear is known, days and holy days and such times come. When anniversaries arrive by calendar or consciousness,
seasons come.
When lives are born or people die, mark the time. Let nothing living slip between the fingers of the mind.
All right, it's time for the story for all ages. So if the children could come up and join me up here, that'd be great. Children in body or mind or spirit, any ages are welcome to come up. But come on up, come on kind of close, because I'm going to need your help with the story today, if you wouldn't mind. Hey guys, come on up, sit down. I'm Carrie. So I have a very old story today. It's an Aesop's fable story that is kind of adapted. But maybe you've heard some version of this story before, many of you. It starts with once upon a time. Once upon a time, an old woman lived on a beautiful farm in the country. So maybe you guys can imagine a beautiful farm in the country, since we live surrounded by beautiful farms in the country. From the woman's window, she could see pasture land, fields of grain, barns filled with animals, orchards and forests beyond. The farm was special to the old woman because it had been in her family for many generations. She had lived there her whole life and grew up to be a mother and raised her family of, she had about, let's see, how many of you are there? Maybe 20 children? So you're kind of going to be like the old woman's children. Now her husband was dead, and she too was in the last days of her life. The old woman should have been content after such a fortunate life, but she was not. She lay on her bed worrying about her grown children. They could not seem to get along. She heard them quarreling day and night. Even though some of them were good at farming and some at working with the animals and some at carpentry and others at cooking or preserving the food they grew, they each thought that their job was the most important and that the others didn't work hard enough. They were all grown-ups now, but they held grudges against each other from things in the past, and they were jealous of each other's good fortune. The old woman tried talking to her children about living in peace, yet they seemed to grow increasingly bitter by the day. She felt sure that they would not be able to keep the family farm after she had died because they could not seem to work together or appreciate each other's gifts. Then one day, as her strength waned, she had an idea. She called her children to her bedside. So you're going to be like the children at the bedside. And said, "I have one favor to ask of you. I would like each of you to go into the forest and find two sticks. So these are going to be your sticks, and I want each of you to just take two sticks. So if you could all come up and each take two sticks, and hopefully I have enough. Come on up, and everybody take two sticks. We're going to pretend like these are the sticks you find in the forest. So everybody needs
I
two.
Got enough for my friends.
Yeah, take a few for your friends. That's a
all
nice
right.
idea.
Okay.
Everybody got two sticks? You guys want two sticks? Here we go. Okay, so the children did as she asked, and they came to her room the next day with two sticks each. Okay, so you're in my room, I'm the old woman, you have your two sticks each. She said, "Children, please put one of your sticks down, okay, and see if you can break the other one in half. Can you guys break it? Pretty much everybody can break it, right? Not too hard? Okay, now you can put that one down. All right, where am I? Now, let us gather the remaining sticks all together. So everybody give me back. Here, we'll dump these out. put your sticks back, your remaining stick. So we just have one from each of you, the non-broken one. The non-broken stick. There we go. There we go. Thanks, Mason. Thank you. All right. All right. So I have, I'm the old woman. I have lots of children. I have all you children, right? And each of you has donated a stick. We're going to gather them into a bundle. Okay? And now, we're going to pass the bundle back to you children. And I want to see if you can break this. Breaking one stick was pretty easy, right? Pass it around. Can anybody break it? Just using your hands, so you can't like use your foot or step on it. Try passing it around. Just give it a shot and see how it works. So is it easy to break it now? Uh-uh. Think anybody in this group of children here could break the sticks? I know some boys are, and maybe girls are going to think they're really strong. No, the whole bundle. Pass it around. Yeah, okay. So, my guess would be that as we continue to pass it around, no one's going to be able to break it. Right? Even Bjorn can't break it. So, as you pass it around, listen. You, my children, I'm the old woman, right? You, my children, are like these sticks. If you go your separate ways, quarreling and holding resentment towards one another, you will each be alone, like those individual sticks. And the difficulties of life will easily hurt you. But if you work together, if you appreciate each other's strengths and cherish what you share in common and care for each other, you will be strong, like the bundle of sticks, and nothing in life can break you. Find strength and joy in one another's company, and you will all live well and accomplish much. So the children took their mother's lesson to heart, and hopefully you guys will too. Letting go of past grudges, focusing on what they shared in common, appreciating each other's strengths, and working together. And with that, the old woman was able to die peacefully, and the farm remained in the family for many generations. So, thank you for helping me with the story. I'd like you to all just put your broken pieces of stick back in the basket, and then you can go back to your seats. We're going to sing This Little Light of Mine together, the first two verses. And then on the third verse, Kaya's going to get the lantern, and you guys can follow her out to RE. Okay? So thanks for your help. And now congregation will join in singing hymn 118, This Little Light of Mine. Thanks, Paul.
Still alive.
As noted in the order of service, this is a time when we invite all to share their joys or concerns with the congregation. If you choose to share, please raise your hand when the usher brings you a microphone. Please briefly tell us your name and the joy or concern you wish to share. I will light a candle to represent your joy or concern. In this sharing, may our sorrows be lightened and our joys multiplied. And I will light the memorial candle for this wonderful celebration of our 15 years.
I'm Sheila, and wasn't sure if I was ready to share this, but my dear father died this past Thursday, and he was an extraordinarily loving man, not just to his family, who he was passionate about, but to people who he met and became interested in their stories. I mean, he was an amazing man. He was 93 and died peacefully in the end. And so it's a candle of sorrow and blessing, and many blessings to him. Thank you.
I'm Angel. I have a joy that everything went well with my surgery this last week, and I feel so much better, and it's like the lights are brighter, and my eyes are open, and I feel good. I'm on the right kind of diet, and I'm just hoping that's the last of this nonsense. Thank you.
My name is Tom, and I have four children who, much like the story we heard today, are disparate and been taught to betray each other, and I would just like to pray for them.
My name's Dan, and I'm a very happy person today. I've lived in my life to see such an incredible, diverse group of people get together yesterday and share a common cause. Whatever your political aspirations are, I'm not getting into that. It's just a miracle to me that yesterday that could happen in America. So that's my joy today.
My name is Dave, and I'd like to light a candle of concern for a colleague who was diagnosed with breast cancer, but joy that she's able to take the semester off from teaching and concentrate on her recovery and treatment.
I'm Christy, a candle of joy. My niece announced to the family yesterday that she's going to have a baby, she and her husband, and it's kind of exciting family milestone, first new life in the next generation.
I'm Kathy, a candle of concern for our eldest granddaughter's 22-year-old boyfriend, who was just diagnosed with testicular cancer that's spread at stage 4, and he's just started treatment.
I'm Joanne, and a candle of joy for Robin Reed and his dear late wife, Edith, who 15 years ago were so gracious and welcoming to my husband, myself, my 1-year-old, and my 4-year-old as we experimented with this kind of odd and intriguing young church on its first service.
My pleasure.
I'm Doug Estee, and today is my wife Nancy's and my 34th wedding anniversary.
Let us join together in a time of meditation and reflection and prayer. Creative, sustaining, and redeeming love, be with us and among us now and always. Inform the meditations of our hearts. Inspire the words of our mouths. Uphold the work of our hands. Embolden us to seek and to speak the truth in the face of the powers of public deceit and lies. Instill among us the will to discover and to serve the public good, in opposition to the powerful forces of selfish means and self-serving ends. Support us as we strive together to live in ways of compassion and justice and peace for all people. Sustain us through our partnerships of responsibility and accountability entered in behalf of the common life and the public good. Hold us faithful to our covenants. manifests through threefold solemn promises, one to another, all to the whole human community, and each and all to the wellspring from which all being flows. And now in silence, let us each continue in this spirit of meditation and reflection and prayer. May it be so. Amen. Our hymn is in the Teal Hymn Book, number 1017, Building a New Way.
I do not know when it began, but I know you do. It began with a discontent, with a gnawing in your soul. It began with out of placeness. It began with heresy. Or perhaps it began with an expansiveness that drove you to seek. Perhaps it began with thoughtful inquiry. And it was a friend, an acquaintance, a colleague from work who was Christian, Jew, Muslim, a Hindu stranger at your dentist's office, an unchurched but discerning woman in a book discussion group who said, wait, you sound like a Unitarian. And a member of this congregation or another said, come visit my church. And it was not an intrusion. It was a kindness. It was a courtesy, for it helped you find your way home. No, I know you. You're a homebred UU. Your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents trusted this faith with what they held most dear in the world, the hearts, the minds, the very souls of the next generation. And perhaps you left for a while, for work, for college, for military service, but it is far more likely that you never left at all. Your sense of belonging increasing with each and every life transition. And how can I help but grin when our young people are joining us for worship this morning? No, 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 no. You searched on the web. You answered that survey on BeliefNet. You entered some magic combination of words, clicked the I feel lucky button, and Googled your way to this saving faith. You are here by Bing, by Yahoo. See, I do not know when it began, but I know each and every one of you do. So I want you to remember your own beginning this morning and draw it near and hold it close for our time together in this Sunday morning in this lush and lovely Midwestern greenness on the edge of fall. I am so happy to be here with you, and I'm grateful to Jim for sharing the pulpit with me this morning. He knows I love parties. And we are partying today because we gather this morning in celebration of religion woven from many strands, inscribed in the gospel of universal salvation, tradition that proclaims the good news that every single person has inherent worth, even me, even you. Every individual has worth, and every individual can have a personal and direct relationship with the divine, not because they've learned the right prayer, or because they enact some correct rituals, or they make the right confession, but simply because they have a heart that beats, lungs that draw air, eyes that see, ears that hear, lips that can give witness. Each person has worth and dignity simply because they are. Each human life connects somehow with yours and with mine. We know this. Sometimes we doubt for a moment, for a year, for 15 years, but still we know this. There is an entire world of people outside this sanctuary, and we could never hope to meet them all. And yet, in our bones, we know that each person in the world has dignity. Each person has worth. For us, this is a matter of faith. And we know that each person gathered inside this sanctuary is also worthy. I mean, I know, sometimes this is harder to affirm inside the sanctuary. You know, he took too long getting ready this morning. She forgot to print the directions to church. He gave me a hard time yesterday, and I still haven't forgotten that strange comment she made at a congregational meeting in 2006. The folks we know best are sometimes the hardest to love well. I get up some mornings, and I look in the mirror, and if there's an argument against inherent worth, I know I'm looking at her. Do you have days like that, Reese? No, don't. See, you may not know that you're worthy, and I may not know that I'm worthy, and yet we are. Every person in this room is a unique and wonderful blessing in the world. So let's go show them. Please take a moment and greet your neighbors as the unique and wonderful blessings that they are. Baby, friends, 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 we gather to celebrate a free faith that declares that every child, every youth, every woman, every man can be saved not just once, but again and again and again. Salvation is ever-present, universal, and ubiquitous. That's a word that means it's everywhere, okay? We are all saved, even me, even you. We gather this morning for worship, to open our hearts to wonder, to the feel of your child's hand in yours, the look in the eye of a person you just greeted, to a memory summoned forth by a piece of music, to the feelings in our bodies as we sing and sway. We open our hearts this way on a regular basis so that something precious, something holy, can enter. We might call this connection or community or God, or Holy Spirit, or abundant love, but what we call it doesn't matter. It's here because it's invited, because we together dared to create a welcoming space. We gather to celebrate a lived faith, an embodied faith, a faith that declares a ministry for each and every one of us, every woman, every man, every youth, every child, a faith that has our young people go to Appalachia and to New Orleans and rebuild and build again. We are called, all of us, called to wake up and be part of this faith, summoned to the life religious, and none of us, not one of us, can ever afford to walk through life asleep. Day after day, night after night, we are called. And this calling leaves a mark whether or not we ever answer the call. Now, for some of us, answering that call, though, means a life poured out in service in our UU ministry. In your 15 years, and congratulations there, in your 15 years, you've had part-time ministers, interns, newly minted ministers of various denominations, and now you're blessed to spend a couple of years with this deeply experienced UU minister, my friend, the Reverend James A. Hobart. Is he wonderful or what? None of these folks have been ministers simply because they chose to be. They're not in it for the money either, although I understand it's best if we pay them a little something. No, people don't choose ministry. Ministry chooses people for religious leadership, a call so resonant it cannot be silenced, so strident it can no longer be denied, a call that comes to pound on the door, and a call that kept pounding until those folks answered the call. As a layperson, I am deeply grateful for our professional clergy, fine women and men, called to minister to us in times of joy and times of sorrow, to comfort us when comfort is called for, to help us make sense of the unevenness, the tragedies of life. 22 years old, you know? To never fail to be touched by human frailty and loss, to work very personally but always on behalf of what we all hold holy, and to help bend our world towards justice. But ministry is so much more. For if ministers only comfort, then we will become comfortable people. And if ministers only reassure, then you and I easily get rocked back into that wonderful, complacent, aren't I wonderful sleep. There's a whole society that likes us asleep, you know. So we all need to wake up, because if ministers could do all the work needed to build a more just and compassionate world, why then do you and I even have hearts and hands? So we also ask our clergy to make us uncomfortable so that we hear that ancient voice that calls our name and we know that the call is ours to answer. Our ministers help us gather our power and take our ministries, all our ministries, out into the world. Ministers encourage us to embody our faith, to dare to stand on the shoulders of Unitarians and Universalists and Unitarian Universalists who built structures of love and justice that in more generous and gentle times were collectively called the common good or the commonwealth. We ask our ministers to stand in the pulpit and speak into this space made holy by our presence, this sanctuary for growth and wholeness, this temple where we call each other to be our best, most courageous selves. And we ask ministers to share their truths, raw truths, most audacious truths with us, to call us to listen beyond sermon title and description, beyond subject and verb, noun and pronoun, beyond past tense and present tense and future tense and everything that's making us tense right now. And then to invite us to open our souls and expand the land where all our truths, all our understandings of love and justice and goodness can bounce around together and create this joyful chaos where anything is possible, but especially change. We charge each other, ministers and lay folks, to discard everything that is unfeeling or false or misdirecting, and to fill our congregations with so much honest engagement that whatever is inauthentic, whatever is less than loving, less than kind, lies panting for breath outside that door, lucky to have made it out alive. None of this is an easy proposition. Perhaps not even really within our grasp to be that real. But this is so worth reaching for. This is what Ralph Waldo Emerson called authentic religious community. And in this community, each of us has a ministry, our own piece of the world to make whole. Whether you're 8 or 80 or 18 or 28, there's a part of the world for you to make whole, to fix. And all of our ministries are worthy. This world we live in is in desperate need of every single ministry that embodies our values. Every ministry, professional or lay, that adds love and compassion to this apathetic, dispassionate world. Now, perhaps some days you worry that you're not sufficient to the ministry that is calling you. Don't worry, you will be. See, we don't need to be extraordinary people. We can settle for being ordinary people with extraordinary faith. This is what Unitarian Universalist lay people and ministers can create together. Communities that invite us to pull up a chair or a piece of carpet or sit around a dinner table or huddle in front of a campfire and tell our stories, share our lives, so that we remember that we are immersed together in the human condition. Remember that this side of fear, we can find no rational basis to deny connection to each other, to the many others, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, all. See, here's a secret. And it's a secret some of you have probably learned here already because you've had 15 years to get it going. What is most precious about us is not what we've learned from books, or how smart or articulate we are. And we believe in inherent worth, not net worth, so what's most precious about us is not how much we earn or where we work, or how much of our time we spend organizing our closets or our children's lives. There's really only one thing of limitless value you can give me, only one thing of limitless great value that I can hand to you. We can tell each other the true stories of our lives. Not our oh-so-rational political positions, or the words we craft to impress the audience we believe is listening to us, or the statements of misdirection we utter so no one will ever know. How sometimes we feel so uprooted right now, so disconnected, that late at night when everyone else is asleep in the house, we cry and we don't even know why. No, not posturing, not misdirection. There is an ancient voice that knows our names, and it calls us to a far larger purpose. The true stories of our lives come from the same place as the words you whisper into the dark night air when you sit all alone under a star-filled sky. True stories always come right from your heart. So, in this community, dare to say this to each other. Speak truth to me so real that you call me to listen authentically, that you call me to lean forward and listen deeply, like a parched person crawling towards a river, plunging in face first, then drinking, almost inhaling. Make me listen, truly listen, in a way that allows me to be quenched, to be not thirsty so deeply that I only realize I am weeping when I brush the wetness from my face. And then listen to me in exactly that same way as I tell you my life, my truths, as I share the deepest longings of my soul, the things that are most important to me that I can barely tell even to myself. And then, let your soul speak these words. Remind me that there is privilege, even in metaphor, and that I actually know precious little about being parched. Do not ever let me forget that no matter how unsafe or perilous my condition feels, My life today is what other people long for when they dream of safety. Remind me that my security is not a universal condition around the world, and that too many stay awake, rigidly alert, listening for the faintest sound of footfalls, guarding their younger sisters and brothers or their children. Remind me that there are fathers and mothers whose only nighttime possession is some pitiful square of flooded bayou earth or scorched desert borderland where family members take turns staying up keeping watch. And that we have allowed this to be so. We have allowed this to be so. Even in this country, even in our lifetimes, even last night. Remind me that fear of violence keeps many from sleep, even right here in our community. And that it is a privilege to choose the things that wake me up early or keep me from sleep. And then, as my mother would say, don't ever let me forget that waking itself is a privilege. And then, souls speaking to souls in community, dream of this. Groups of the faithful that gather as they've always gathered, from history through today and onward, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, in tens and threes and hundreds, and youth groups, and adult communities and learning groups, all of the numbers and all of the names that we could call community. Community that gathers to sing and dance and celebrate 15 years and hear the stories that remind us of the strength and solidarity that we find together, that we don't need to be one stick, that together we are so much more. Community that invites new stories by welcoming and embracing the people who bring them here. A community of care where we can always find solace in the midst of grief and fear, and a community of challenge where we form ourselves better so we can better transform our world. This is how we call each other. This is how we teach each other to love. Religious community bound together not by common belief, but with a promise to create and with our faithful presence maintain a holy space in which each and every one of us can ask the questions that burn in our hearts. How do I embrace the holy? How am I called to serve? What am I ready to give in the service of a better world? What do I value more than my own comfort? Where am I willing to take a stand? What is calling me? What is calling all of us? And how in the world shall we answer? This is how ministries and the courage to say yes to them are found. Let us listen to each other so deeply here, love each other so boldly, that every single one of us can hear the doorbell ringing and learn to run to the door and throw it open and ask, what's next? What's next for me? What's next for us? 15 years is such a good start. What shall the next 15 and the next bring? So finally then, let us pray together. Holy One, God who is never constrained by human naming, this young congregation has so many directions it could have pursued, and yet it moves forward with such confidence and love. Such confidence, such care. Help this congregation always be a service to the members, to the youth, to the children, to the community, and to the world which waits for us. We have an entire culture that wants us to sleep. And we spend so much time on that edge, comforted by dreams of a world of peace, where the work of justice, our work, has already been done. And some nights we dream of a world with clean, flowing waters and clear air, where the work of environmental stewardship, our work, has already been done. Or we dream lovely dreams of a world where civil rights, including the right to marry, are granted to all citizens. A world where the work of fighting homophobia and heterosexism and racism, our work, has already been done. And sometimes we have smaller dreams, dreams of a world where even the girl children can always go to school, where no child fears abuse or goes to bed hungry, and where every child is loved. That world where the work required to save the generations, our work, has already been done. And dear God, we want to stay in that dream time, remain in that peace just a little longer. Always remind all of us that the dark cover of night is not permanent, that morning's light reveals a world unchanged from when we went to sleep. Do not allow us to flinch from the sure knowledge that we are being called to serve life and serve love and must awaken. Help us remember that as far as the eye can see and beyond, we are all human, one human family, one human tribe. Help us see each other completely and hear each other fully. Help us make choices that are bold choices, and help us learn to be both brave and humble warriors for our faith, true companions to each other, full of patience and care and compassion, willing to speak and hear each other to courage for the next 15 years and the next and the next. And help us know that we will always find in each other strength to add to our own, so we may do all the work that needs to be done. And then, fully awake, help us find that the world we call ourselves to create together is so much more than anything any of us ever would dare to dream alone. Amen.
We have a few brief moments to share a polylogue. If you would care to speak, raise your hand. An usher will bring you a microphone, and you can give us what you're thinking. Or we can talk amongst ourselves.
Liking the microphone today. The Gina Magnus, I don't know if she's here, she generally hides in the back, won a gift certificate in a auction for my class, and she started coming in, and I was absolutely intrigued by her and what made her tick to the point where every time she came in, I was interrogating her. Who are you? What makes you what you are? And then she started talking about her faith and the Unitarian Church, and I said, oh, that's what I am. I never knew that. So, you know, just generally discussing amongst people, you never know, because I, like, personally had no idea so that there was a Unitarian Church, what the belief was, what made you guys tick, and it was right in line with all my beliefs. So just casually mentioning it or just being who you are, you know, makes people real curious, you know. Well, what about you? So keep that in mind. Thanks.
Hi, it's Janica. I just had to, after what Angel said, share this, that it was back in 2004, I think, when I was at a political meeting and with my daughter and friends of hers and adults, parents I didn't know for the most part. And that's when I heard about this church and similar feeling. I couldn't believe that there were people out there who were like me. You know, that was shocking to me. So I came to the church, and for the second time in my life, felt like I'd found home.
Hi, I'm Al. Reflecting on the children's story, And as many of you who know me would find, it's not unfamiliar for me to hear "stick it." But I'm glad to know that I'm a stick of this church. And although in the story it was the unbroken sticks that were put together, I, for one, am proud to say that I'm one of the fractured sticks that becomes part of that overall, perhaps very bendable, unbreakable, strong loving, strong caring, positive thinking group of people. And I thank you.
My name is Tom. I grew up in this area. I went to Oconomowoc High School a million years ago. Not quite, but almost. And at that time, there was no such thing as a Unitarian Universalist church in this area, and I really could have used one. Much later in life, I found it, and I'm proud to say I was part of bringing it here.
I'm Dave, and I'd like to thank Ginny for kind of expressing all the things that a minister can bring to a church, especially as we have made the recent decision to pursue a called ministry in the coming year or so. That I think we can look back to what you shared with the value of having that person kind of helping lead us. That's something I think we can look back on and reflect on as we go through the process. Thank you.
I'm Yvonne, and actually, we joined a Unitarian Universalist Church 30 years ago. Not this one, of course, but we were here when this one started. And I especially appreciate how you summed it up and the thought of looking 15 years ahead and 15 and 15.
May we all share our thoughts and great joy of this day as we join in the social hall for conversation and coffee and a potluck after the service. Like me to get a little ahead of myself here. We come to this place because we love what exists here. This church is a living entity, and like all living things, it must have nurture and sustenance. Its breath and its heartbeat, its life itself, can only be derived from its living components, us. The offering will now be received.
We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in a stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. I am alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced at the brink of wisdom. I am impatient to receive a sign. I move forward with my senses open. Imperfection, it be my crime. In humility I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. On this journey through thoughts and feelings, binding intuition, my head, my heart, I am gathering the tools together. I'm preparing to do my part. All of those who have come before me, band together and be my guide. Loving lessons that I will follow. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. When we get there, we'll discover all the gifts we've been given to share have been with us since life's beginning, and we never noticed they were there. We can balance at the brink of wisdom, never recognizing that we've arrived. Loving spirits will live together. We're all swimming on the other side. We are living neath the great Big Dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together. Some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. Loving spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
Thank you, Doug. That sounds to me like the music to end on, so I'm going to cancel the responsive reading, the unison reading, and the last hymn, and let us close with these words as benediction. We gathered here to offer an audacious religious testimony. The unity of the human spirit undergirds and binds together diverse, marvelous, and sometimes contradictory human ways. Now, as we go forth, let us be confident in the faith we can help build a world wherein the many peoples are known to be one humanity with a common destiny. Amen.